You're listening to Stand Out with Ian O'Connell, Wednesday evenings from 8 p.m. here on Radio Kerry.
Now, you're very welcome to the show tonight. I hope I find you well on this Wednesday evening. I'm delighted to say that my guest this week on Stand Out with myself, Ian O'Connell, is Castle Island man Pat Murphy. Pat is a race walker with over 47 years, and he has competed in over 100 countries, and he is a self-employed plumber with 48 years. All that came to a halt on Monday of the Maybank Holiday 2023, when out of the blue, Pat got a bad stroke. Sit back and enjoy the show. Pat, thanks a million for joining me today. I'm delighted to have you. Do you know, it's good to highlight things about your own story, like, because obviously there's so many people in Ireland that have strokes, and it's great to kind of raise the awareness. So I always ask my guests, growing up, what was young Pat like?
The young Pat was mad for sport, very interested in sport all my life. I'm race walking with 50 years, training hard, doing over 100 miles a week. I started race walking in 1977, 78, and I'm still at it. And the week before I got the stroke, I was competing in the World Championships in Poland, and I was great. I had a great two great races there.
And, like, it's mad to think, like, that before the stroke, you were so, like, we were talking about there before we came on air, how fit you were and growing up, like, and like you said, you were mad in sports there growing up. Would you have been more kind of, I suppose, the athletic side, or did you try any, say, football or hurling or anything?
No, nothing to do with Gaelic. It was always my sport, always was athletics and basketball.
Would you like watching the European athletics there now last week?
It. I love all sport.
Yeah.
But they'd be my two number ones, basketball I love and athletics, all athletics.
You're looking forward to the Olympics, huh?
I am, yeah,
Very good. And like you said there, I suppose, when were you first introduced to race walking?
I saw it in television about the late 70s. So I did my first race in St. John's Park here in Tralee, a county championships.
Was it popular back then?
No, not down here. Few doing it, but not down here, not very popular. Like.
That's what Rob Heffernan does that,
doesn't
it?
What Rob was doing, yeah, later. Rob came later, and we had Gillian and Killarney, and we have a great by now as well in Dave Kinney.
Oh yeah, Killarney Fires, yeah.
Dave, very excellent walker.
Yeah, I was actually in school. He was a year above me, I think.
Yeah. But the lads be doing it kind of, they'd be nearly doing it kind of full time now. Like, Dave's going to college, so they all do it full time. I was working when I was,
doing it
part time. I was a plumber.
Different back then, wasn't it?
With 50 years, completely different. Race walking in Castle Island was kind of strange because nobody ever knew what you were doing.
There's a track there, isn't there?
There's a lovely track there now at the moment, yeah. There was nothing in the old days, but there's a fine track there now and everything, yeah.
When did that, because I remember before my accident, I used to do, I think it was like Couch to 5K with my auntie done, and I went back with her one day, and there's a kind of a clubhouse, and
there is a track there, I suppose, over 20 years now.
Great facility, isn't it?
Great facility, great, yeah. Great track, great facility.
So much money in Ireland goes into, like we were saying, Gaelic football and hurling and that side of things. Do you know, athletics, it's getting more popular, but do you think it should be kind of, I suppose, promoted more to people, young people?
It probably is, but the way I look at sport is when some people, there's two types of sport to me, there's indoor sport and outdoor. And Ireland is a bad country, very wet, cold, wet. So you have two choices. If you're doing indoor, you have a better time, nice warm, the heaters are on. If you're playing basketball, you're there with your friends, you have showers after. If you're on your own, like I do long distance race walking, if you're on your own, you go out in the rain, you're out there for 3 hours on your own, you meet nobody.
It's very hard. It can be lonely at times.
And it's not a team event, like, so, and you're out in all types of weather. And in this country, the weather is brutal bad.
Yeah.
So there's two types of me. I always ask what sport you do. Are you indoor or outdoor? There's miles apart in the difference. If you're indoor, like, it's so easy.
And were you, when you were young, like, when you started it, were you, like, I know myself, me in school didn't click at all. Were you academic yourself, or did you?
School was okay. I liked metalwork and woodwork. I liked the tech. I wouldn't be for a lot of the other, yeah.
Same as myself.
I'd be okay for maths as well, but other things I wouldn't fancy them, like.
Yeah, I love the woodwork. I'd rather be out with a ball at my feet. Do you want to explain? Because I never actually understand. When I heard Rob explaining it once, the rules for race walking, is there something like you have to have one foot on the ground?
On the ground at all times, and the leading leg must be straight when you hit the ground, and you, in other words, you can't land in your knee. You have to have a straight leg landing. So in other words, it's basically like straight leg and one leg on the ground at all time. Yeah. If you look at a runner, their knees are always bent and they're off the ground the most times. But some people say race walkers as well. They probably are.
Yeah.
It's hard to judge, like, you know.
It is, like, the rules. Is there any other, I suppose, very important rules that are in race walk that you'd be kind of punished for besides that?
Bent knees, they'd be the big ones. As you get older, it's a bent knee because you're not straight, you're not able to straighten your leg as quick as when you were young.
Yeah.
And being off the ground when you get older is harder to do because you're slower.
Yeah, yeah. Did you, you represented Ireland, didn't you?
I competed in about 100 countries.
Go away?
Yeah. So I won, I did well in the Masters because the Masters is not professional and we were both, we'd be all the same standard in as around the world. So I won the World Championships in Austria and the World in the Masters on the road, Tinky on the road. And I won the Europeans the year after in Germany. And I won the African Championships a couple of years later there as well.
It's unreal.
So I've won about
100
British Championships as well.
Did you have any, I suppose, like, obviously sports and race walking, it gave you the opportunity to, like you said, go to 100 countries around the world. Was there any, I suppose, one country that you kind of like bigger than them all, or would you just go compete and come home? Or would
I
you
just
get to
compete and come home. The nice country for the people must be definitely South Korea. They were lovely people. They were fabulous, yeah. And I like Mexico as well. The people in Mexico were lovely.
Yeah. Was it in 2004? Was it in Puerto Rico, you?
Oh yeah, I won the Pan American Games in Puerto Rico, yeah.
What was that like, was it?
Very warm, very warm. We started in the morning, our race was 6 o'clock before the sun came out.
Go away.
Yeah, so we're up at 3.
How long would race walks be?
Race walks be, I did everything from 3K up to 50.
Go away.
Yeah.
Would I suppose the big ones be closer to 50, yeah?
The big races, the major races for when you're a senior is 20s and 50s. But now they're going back down to 35s.
Depends, so.
No, because they dropped to 50 because they want women to, I want all men's and women's races now equal.
Oh, go away.
So they thought the 50 was a bit too hard for a lot of the ladies, so they brought it down to 35.
They kind of dropped it just to
make it equal between men and women. Yeah.
Would it be more popular for men in, I suppose, in race walking than women, or would it be?
No, it's to be the same. They say, well, ladies are actually better at race walking. They're built better for race walking. They have better technique.
Go away.
Yeah.
I've written down here in 2007 you won 2 silver medals in the Masters. Was that in Helsinki? It was.
Yeah.
Well, what did that mean to you?
I won so many, and I don't know. That was in Helsinki, and I was going to Helsinki the week I was in hospital as well. I was competing in the European Games. I had my flights and all paid for, and didn't go there. Spent my time in Arda and Tralee instead, Arda General Hospital.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's scary the way life can turn. Like you said there, you do your flights booked in and everything, the road to race walking. Do you want to bring me back, I suppose, to the day, Pat, that you did have the stroke? Obviously, it's like we said at the start, it's an important topic to talk about. That day, what was it like?
The day I had the stroke was the 1st of May 2023. It was a bank holiday. The previous day I had been in Banner. I'd done 4 hours training in Banner. Banner is almost my place for Sunday. I go to Banner. Every Sunday was the last 50 years training. I love Banner and the sand to give a break to the legs. So I'd been in Banner Sunday training very hard. So I woke up Monday morning, bank holiday Monday morning, the 1st of May 2023. I got up, put on my clothes, put on my shoes, went to the toilet. And my sister said to me, "Are you feeling okay? You look very pale." I said, "Yeah, I'm feeling great." And she said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to Banner." She said, "You're not driving to Banner. You can't drive to Banner. I don't think you look well."
Yeah.
You said your jaw is drooping and your eye is drooping, and she said you don't look great. So she called my lifesaver, Lorna. Lorna is my lifesaver.
Yeah.
Because since Tralee Hospital above in Dunleary, now she does everything for me. She's great.
Go away.
So she called Lorna, and Lorna took me back to the A&E in Tralee. So I jumped out of the car. I literally jumped. Now I'm flying at this moment. I felt great. I felt I could do a mat. I was going to Banner again that day just for a leisure walk with the dog. And I felt great.
That's the scary thing.
Yeah, I felt brilliant. I felt I could have run a marathon. Went into the A&E, chatted to the nurse, sat in the chair, and passed out, and didn't wake up for 4 days later above in Cork Hospital. So I passed out in Tralee. I must have got the massive stroke in Tralee while I was in the A&E, I think, anyway. So I don't remember anymore after that. I was out, but I was told I was put into the ambulance and sent to Cork. I got no clot-busting injection in Tralee. I don't know why. Even though I was getting the stroke in there, I didn't get the clot buster injection. I don't know why. And then I was put into an ambulance and sent to Cork, a 2 or 3 hour journey in an ambulance, getting a massive stroke. And when I got to Cork, they tried an operation to remove the clot and they couldn't. I was on the operating table for about 4 or 5 hours. There was a name for it. They put a wire up your artery and they tried to shift the little blockage. There's a medical name for it, but I don't know what it is. But they tried that four times. I was on the table for 3 or 4 hours and they failed. So they failed in Cork. They could do nothing for me in Cork, but they did nothing for me in Tralee. And they told me in Cork, the only thing that could save my life was my fitness. That's all I got for the on the day. So the clot went straight up and hit me in the brain.
And like you said,
whatever side you're affected, if you're affected, your left hand side, it's the opposite side of the brain you got hit with the clot.
Oh, really?
It's the opposite. It's the opposite side the clot hits you. So if you're affected, I'm affected on my left hand side. So I got the clot hit me in the right hand side in the brain.
And it's just the one side. So you're
Just the one side. I have the use of kind of half my leg on the left hand side, and my hand doesn't work at all.
And do you think, Pat, you'd often hear of a TIA, it's like a mini stroke. Did they say anything like you might have had one of them before you got the major stroke?
Yeah, maybe during the night, they don't know. Like, there's no communication. You're not told nothing. Anyway, there's no point in telling me, because I was, like I said, I went into the A&E. I sat in the chair, so I passed out and I didn't wake up for about 4 days later, but in Cork Hospital.
What's your first memory when you woke up?
In Cork Hospital, they tell me I woke up and I told somebody, what's this thing? There's somebody hanging onto my shoulder. I don't know what it is. Would take it off, please. It was my hand. My hand was paralysed and my leg was paralysed, but my hand was, I tried to lift it up and it wouldn't move. So I told somebody, there's something stuck onto my shoulder. Could I pull it off, please?
Yeah.
That was my first thing. I can't remember Cork, yeah.
And I know myself, I suffered a bit desperately with, I know people with amputees get a lot of phantom pain. Like you kind of, I'm convinced that if I look at the sky now and say, move my legs, it feels like the legs are moving. Do you have that your body is telling you that your hand is moving and it's
no,
not?
No, my hand actually, there's no movement whatsoever in my hand from my shoulder to my fingers, nothing moves. It's just dead.
Yeah.
My leg is okay to my knee, but from my knee down is weird. I have no, my toes don't move or my ankle don't move, so I have a brace to lift the toes off the ground so I can walk a bit with a stick.
Yeah.
With the brace and without the brace, I can't move because my ankle doesn't move and my toes won't move.
Do you ever get in your, I suppose, your hands, sometimes your kind of fists or fingers can kind of claw up or anything?
Oh, yeah. We never clawed up in the hospital when I woke up. My fingers were in a claw.
Really?
Yeah. And walking, I love walking with my stick, but the more I walk with my stick, the more my toes get sore.
Really?
The toes are clawed up as well, so I'm walking on. And the nerve pain in this is horrible. Like,
yeah,
you get it from your shoulder all the way down to your fingertips and down to your toes. And the more I walk, the more my toes get sore.
How important were, obviously, you just said a minute ago, Laura was so important since you had the accident.
Oh, God, yeah.
In general, how important were, I suppose, family and friends? Because I know any adversity you kind of go through, they're vital. How important were they for you to be around?
Well, you have a lot of friends, but there's only a few that really help you. The other people just talk to you and, they don't do much for you. But there's I have a couple of great friends in Castle and they're brilliant.
They're running.
You really know your friends when you're... But I see they're not actually able to cope with it either. Like, they don't understand it either. Some people, couldn't cope. Like, if you're in a wheelchair, they find it very hard to talk to you and all that. Because seeing you've been all your life doing sport and you're flying, that's the way they know you. They can't... They get embarrassed, like talking to you. Sometimes in a wheelchair, like they can't cope with it.
That's it. Sometimes they don't know what to say either.
Start to say, and they'll be saying things like, this is the most common thing. Oh, you're looking great.
Yeah, I hate that.
And you're flying. If I'm talking about flying with a stick. I was world champion. I was flying then, but now I have a stick, so I'm not flying. I'm only barely crawling.
Yeah.
You're looking great.
When you came in there, we had a bit of a laugh when you came in. How important is, I suppose, a sense of humour when you're going through hard things?
Oh, it is great. It's great because I went to Dunleary and we had 4 Kerry people from Tralee up there and we had a great old crack. We had our own table in the dining room and there was a good, great crack going on there. I was trying to get them to say, come out, you black and tans, but they were hard to get them going. Our table was always, there was always chat at our table.
There was always a bit of crack.
Four great friends. We were there in Tralee together. There was Teresa Cummins from Ballyhar, Morris McCarthy from Killargan, and James McCarthy from Listowel. We were in Tralee together, and we were in Dunleary. We were in Tralee for 3 or 4 months together. Tracy and myself were there for 7 months together in Tralee, it's a, and then up to Dunleary. So we had a great old crack above there. We took over Dunleary.
And that's Gaskell. It's the exact same from when I was in Dunleary, like the dining table. You're all together having a bit of fun. How long were you in Cork for? Did you return down to Tralee then after?
I was taken up to Cork. I was in Cork for about a week, but Cork is bad. I don't remember nothing in Cork. I was really bad in Cork.
And you were brought down in an ambulance?
I was brought down in an ambulance back then down to Tralee, and I was in Tralee for the first, I was in Tralee from about the 7th of May 2023 until the 26th of September. And then I got an ambulance right up straight from Tralee Hospital up to Dunleary, and I was in Dunleary until the 4th, from the 26th of September until the 14th of December, and I loved it up there, loved it.
And that was obviously most of the summer, so wasn't it?
Most of the summer was in Tralee, looking out the window at the mountains.
Yeah. Do you know?
And people all planned their holidays, and we can't get out of the bed.
That's it.
The pain, and the week before, I could fly.
That's it. That's the scary thing, isn't it?
And I got no reason whatsoever for my stroke because I never drank a pint of alcohol in my life, I never smoked a fag. And no stress and no family history background, no family background with stroke. So it just came out of the blue. This massive clot came out of the blue, hit me in the head and nearly killed me.
It's frightening.
So it can happen to anybody at any time, any age. There is no reason for it to come. A lot of people, they don't know why it came like my own. And it can't happen at any age from 20 or 30, maybe less than 20 now. I think teenagers are getting strokes now. No reason whatsoever. Up to 80 or 90 or 100.
Just hit them.
You wake up in the morning, you have a stroke in the bed, you wake up in the morning, you're paralysed. That is saying above in Dunleary, the difference between being good and being paralysed is the length of a phone call.
That's it?
3 minutes and you're gone.
That's it?
You're out, yeah.
And that's the mad thing. Obviously, when you were in hospital, it was a bit later than COVID, but obviously it was still kind of around.
Did we had plenty of COVID.
Did it hit the ward as well?
I never got COVID while I was in Castleline. I worked everywhere during COVID. I never got it. And inside in the hospital, I think I got about 4 or 5 times in the 1 week because there's so many people inside in the ward, and if one gets it, everybody in the world.
Everyone gets it.
But I can tell you something. I take all the COVID in the world. If I get my fingers back, my hand back, and my leg back, there's an awful lot talk about COVID, but there's nothing at all talked about strokes. Strokes should be really talked about because they're happening so common. They're the third biggest killer now in the world.
Yeah.
You have heart, first of all, you have cancer. Second of all, you have heart attacks, and now you have strokes at any age all around the world.
Be in top three.
Be top three in the world. So they come out of nowhere. Nobody knows they're coming.
And I was reading, you done an article with the Independent. I think going back a while, you've done kind of an interview with them.
Oh, I did an interview with the Independent, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you said there was a...
Like I was saying, you know, the last time I was inside in the studio here, I ran up the stairs in 2 seconds. Now I have to take the elevator and I'm just barely ticking over with my stick. That's the difference.
Just out of curiosity, Pat, now you said you came up in the elevator. How accessible do you think Kerry is? Or, the whole country in general, like, because obviously sometimes there's lifts broke, the footpaths can be slanted.
The footpaths are brutal everywhere. And just a smart lip, I have a brace and I find it hard to lift my left leg, and just a little lip on the footpath, like, and you're in trouble. And getting on and off the footpaths, sometimes there's no ramps.
It's not fair.
No, it's very bad, like. I don't know really yet about trains and planes because I haven't done those yet. But they're probably, I'd say, get onto a train, get onto a plane with a wheelchair, probably is hard as well. I know the plane would be okay, but I don't know how the hell you get onto a bus with a stick or a wheelchair or get onto a train. I don't know how that is.
Yeah, in fairness to the trains, I find the trains very good compared to the airplanes. The planes are good as well, but I find the trains, like, they put out a little ramp for you, and then they ask you where you're going. They ring that station and there'll be someone above waiting for you to put on a ramp again.
That's good. So it's like the airport, to be like the airport, so that's good, yeah. I haven't tried that yet, but I might be trying that shortly down the line.
Yeah, yeah. How did you cope with the whole thing, I suppose, mentally? Like, did you? Very hard.
The first thing to go, the hardest thing to accept, like, is your job. I was a plumber for 50 years and I was going to work for another 50. I loved it. Your job, first of all, probably is that I found the hardest in your sport. And of course, you lose your drive. You can't drive, and you're around at home all day with nothing to do. And I'd love to go working, like, but you have nothing to do at home all day. Time, trying to kill time, is deadly.
It is, and like you said, you were working with Nearly 50 years.
50 years plumbing. I intended to work forever. I love working. I loved all my clients in Castor and all my people, all the house I went to. Great people.
Had a bit of fun as well with them.
Oh, great fun. I wasn't working billing sites. I'd be working inside in the house all day, which was great. Like, yeah. You get your tea and your dinner and everything.
A few biscuits.
Oh, every whole thing would be spoilt, rotten by some people.
Did you see when you were in even Dunleary, Orcherly, did you see sometimes, like obviously just talking to you here now, you come across as very determined and good attitude. Did you see, I suppose you did see people packing it all in before they even tried?
Oh yeah, I see in the hospital on three people have been more inside in the ward for a week or two, started to lose it, like, you know, mentally.
Yeah.
Talk very silly stuff and all that and don't know where they are or they think they should be in some other ward or some other room and all that.
Were you allowed visitors and everything? Or,
oh, we were, yeah.
During COVID?
Oh, yeah. Well, it wasn't COVID. It wasn't during COVID, but we got COVID in the ward a few times. Yeah, they'd close the door and they'd be looking in as we were monkeys inside.
Yeah.
They'd be expecting us to have 2 or 3 or 4 years. And I'd be telling them, lads, forget about COVID. Worry about strokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is absolutely more focus on that.
More life-threatening, like. And
it is 100%. Were you waiting for the call from Dunleary for long?
I was waiting for a bit for Dunleary, yeah, but I was looking there, they sent me off to the hospital, yeah. It's hard enough to get into Dunleary, like, Dunleary is brilliant, but Tralee is. I want to thank everybody in the Arda ward and Tralee, the nurses and the staff, all the nurses in the Arda ward and staff. Ipan, the main nurse man there, he was great. And
all
Mary
good.
And all the other nurses and staff, they were brilliant.
Was
and
Mary the ward sister?
Mary was the stroke nurse, yeah.
Nurse, yeah.
There was, and Ipan was kind of the manager, or the manager of the ward, I'd say. Ipan, yeah, lovely. Yeah.
You were in ICU there as well, I presume, for a while, really?
Yeah, he was everywhere.
Yeah.
Rob was my life saver in there as well. Rob, straight, I had claw fingers when I woke up. There were claw fingers, and Rob used to come up to the bed every day, up to the room to me, and straighten out my fingers. No, it wasn't a nice... It was fairly painful to try to straighten back bent fingers.
Did you have a splinter or anything at the time?
I had, yeah.
Yeah.
But he tried to straighten back, Rob, every whole day, never missed a day. He was brilliant. Even there was sweat coming down my forehead. It was still great.
And that's good for him to push.
And truly, the physios, the young girls were great, like. They were always informed. They'd always tell you every morning you come in how good you are.
Yeah.
You feel like crap. But they'd be telling you, look how much you've improved since last week.
And that helps your mind as well.
Great. They were great, like. And...
Mentally, it helps, doesn't it?
The girls were great, yeah. Because the first thing I did in the gym was I sat on the bench and I had four physios around me with four pillows. I couldn't sit up straight. It was falling to the left and the right and backwards. And all I did was sat on the bench. I couldn't sit up straight on the bench.
There was no core.
I had no core. I just fell down. My head was fall down and there'd be a nurse on each side, or a physio, sorry, on each side with a pillow just in case you fall on the floor.
To they support
were great.
You.
They have great patience back with us. I said to them often, how do you do it? Like, how do you have patience with us?
And looking back, from then now to now, Pat, you obviously look at life in a totally different way, do you?
Oh, yeah. Just want to improve. I was lucky to see I was in sport because the physio, some people hate going on doing physio. I was looking forward to the physio.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to, and I made little things inside. Once I wanted to get rid of them every week. First of all, I was on the heist.
Yeah, yeah.
And the heist was going on my hips, and my hips were sore from race walking. And when I used to be lifted up to the roof, it was the high speed, they'd lift you up. And I wanted to, I gave myself a week to get out of the heist, to get onto the style of steady and all those little things.
And like you were kind of looking for small things to come over every day.
And the more training, the better. If I was allowed to stay the whole day down the physio, I'd stay down there. It must be very hard then for people that were not used to that,
Yeah.
I see one man there then, like, I thought he never inside the gym in his life, and he was kind of, I'd say, used like his pint.
Yeah.
And all he used to do down there was cry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
hard.
It helps when you look at it in a positive way, doesn't it?
I had little things, and the other little thing was Granny had used to tie her shoe. Granny is the boss woman in the physios. She used to tie her shoe onto mine.
Yeah.
And she'd pull my leg, drag my leg to move it a bit. And that was my other thing after the second week, then, is to be released from Granny.
Do yourself.
I wanted to try to get away from Granny, push me, and all those little things. Little things. They're very small.
They're. It's only to make them little
and all the jokes. And also, I want to thank Aidan, the porter, and Frank. They pushed us down every day in our wheelchair down to the physio, and they always were informing, singing, and jokes. They were great.
They're always having
always great people like
fun
it.
Up there.
Yeah.
What was your, I think I read you done kind of bit of woodwork or something. What was your, I suppose, favourite part about Dunleary? Because I know they have the gym, and obviously they have the therapy pool. What did you like?
They have the therapy pool. They have the gym, and they have a table tennis. They have the gym was brilliant. Their gym is probably one of the best in the world. It's huge, like it's great.
The chapel special. Is there as well.
There's a church, lovely church down there. Yeah, we've everything there. Like, and you had speech and therapy and some great people there. Like,
yeah,
absolutely brilliant. I'm very lucky. I have great people all the way along. I get on great with the physios. I have two great physios down in Castle Island. They're brilliant. I have Brian Hanahan and from Scatterglen,
yeah,
and John O'Leary from Gnevegulla, and they're brilliant. They have really come along with 72 boys. And now I have, I'm going into Stephanie and Trilly into Ballyvora, into her weights class, and Stephanie's a physio, great girl, brilliant.
Helps as well.
Oh, she's brilliant.
Helps as well. Obviously,
and Ballyvora is brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
Down there is...
They help a lot.
Yeah, Eilish and her crew down there. She have a team down there. They're absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, yeah, they help
when
a lot.
When you need some, when you want to get out of the house, you need to learn to do something. They're brilliant. Ballyvora. Yeah.
And obviously, I just think you were obviously in the new Dunleary. So, because when I was there, it was the old one.
Oh, the new Dunleary is it's not a hospital. It's a hotel.
Yeah, it's unreal.
Oh no, I was in the new one. Oh, it is unreal.
It's all separate bedrooms. Isn't
all
it?
Separate bedrooms. Your own big difference from Tralee, seven in the ward.
Yeah,
a shower once every couple of weeks. Tell place where you have your own room, your own big television. No television in Tralee.
Yeah, yeah.
More control after being getting lost or broken. You have your own big television, your own room, your own shower, toilet, the whole shebang. It's always a hotel.
Because I was in the open ward when, yeah, I was there, and some, like, obviously the open ward is good for things like patching, having
a chat there, yeah, and
but sometimes you just want to have your own.
Oh, you love it, yeah.
Company, don't you?
If you want to chat, you go out in the hall. You meet at dinner time, like, or you can go to somebody else's room. But
and like, were you able to go? They still have the other one open for bits, don't they?
Well, I just go down to the other one, just look around. The other one is it's still there, but they do x-rays and things down there now. They don't do much.
Really?
And you have the church down there, which is lovely, the old church.
Church is still down there.
It's down there, lovely, yeah.
And I found out
that should be a big thing Sunday, going to the church and going to the coffee shop after for tea.
Yeah, yeah.
And chat to all the other patients in different wards.
That's the important thing.
Yeah.
Don't forget the cup of tea. Did you kind of look and say, right, I'm in a bad situation, but I found out when I was there, there's always someone in a worse way than you.
Oh my God, there are people with the spinal injuries, yeah, very bad, the credit's up here. I went up to a man there, the very nice man, lovely man, Jerry O'Leary from...
I know him well.
You know Jerry?
I was out of his house the last day.
Yeah, I went up one day to Jerry. Someone said one day to me, will you go up to Jerry because you're all gab?
Yeah.
I said, of course I will. So we got a great, lovely man.
Jerry's gas. I was only...
His sister, he lives in Castle Island.
Oh, go away.
That's who I know, yeah.
I was only with him the last day. He's a gent, isn't he?
He's a lovely man, yeah.
He's lovely. His little dog was coming up onto my shoes,
yeah,
and everything.
Jerry was fab up there, lovely man.
It was. And did you say there was many people from Kerry up there?
Well, when I was in hospital, there was three or four of us up there, yeah, together.
When you were there?
We were there, yeah. Morris McCarthy had gone from Tralee before I came in, but we were great friends up there.
Yeah.
We'd meet the Kerry people up there, like, you know, was great.
And did you, at the start, get home for a weekend visit?
No, I never came home.
No?
No, I just stayed up there all the whole time because I'd rather just get up there learning, because you're coming home. I see people coming home, but they miss out all Monday, then all the training Monday. I wouldn't miss a class if you paid me. There's a lot of people miss classes above, so I'd say to the girl in charge of the class, if anybody misses, call to me, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'd love doing classes. Like,
and that's good for them.
Classes, yeah.
It's good for them to see that you're interested.
Yeah.
And you've done a bit of carpentry up there?
I did a bit of carpentry, made a bit of a stool. That was kind of...
Sugon chair,
that was kind of...
Do you get the Kerry colours?
I'll tell you one thing, you'll get great patience from that. You wouldn't be having any road rage after when you're trying to do a Sugon with one hand and one leg, sitting in a wheelchair.
You were into all that kind of stuff before the accident, were you?
Well, I loved making things. That was all my life, doing things with my hands. But with one hand is a different story.
Yeah. And like, it's unreal. You know, sometimes they have the art up there, and they have the carpentry and all that.
They have music. They have
music
up there.
Yeah.
And what you call it is huge up there, table tennis, for coordination and eyesight.
Really?
Yeah, they're huge into table tennis, yeah.
Did you go on any, I suppose, do you know the standing frames and the tilt table?
No, I never. No. Not, no.
Do you know,
I had a physio from Watford again. I seem to be lucky with the people I got. He was eating McInerney. Oh, he was brilliant, yeah.
What did you find was the hardest obstacle to come over after a stroke?
I suppose the hardest thing, like, is to be around all day with doing nothing and not able to drive until you learn to drive automatically.
Yeah.
I miss my van. Just walk out and go into a van and drive anywhere. Now everything is a huge problem if you get somebody to give you a hand. And
Planning.
You can't just walk out the door and run up the street
yeah.
like before. You'd be up the street in three strides. Now you have to plan everything, watch the footpaths and how well you're going to get onto footpath and off a footpath. All that crap. Going to those doors, fire doors are hard because they're hard
heavy
to open, and they'll come back and they could knock you very easily.
They are
you
very
court balance with the stroke is very bad. You have very bad balance.
And like, I suppose, did you ever get kind of fatigue?
No, never.
No?
No, plenty of energy.
So I was...
I never had fatigue, and a lot of people do complain that, like, but I never have a problem with that, and I thank God.
Like you mentioned there,
I said, how would you have fatigue after 100 miles a week and doing
that's true too.
a 50 hour week plumbing, like inside the building site or somewhere? And
that's true too, isn't it?
There's plenty of time to spare. It's just I'm looking for work, not
looking for work.
Looking for work, because looking for it, if I could do something, I'd be delighted.
Yeah,
it's the boredom all day with nothing to do.
I think the nerve pain is the worst.
Nerve pain is deadly.
Yeah, like I always say, The nerve pain times can be worse than being in a wheelchair.
Oh, it's deadly. The nerve pain, it's my toes I get in there.
Yeah.
If I walk, like, I love walking and training, but then after, like, my bottom of my foot is numb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you ever get kind of pins and needles as well?
Yeah, pins and needles. And they're on fire, your toes, like, and all that. Oh, yeah. And your fingers.
Yeah.
It starts at the shoulder and it comes down your hand, and some days are worse than other days.
That's just it. Every day is not the same, sure it's not.
No. Say some days you're feeling great, like, and... I feel great when I'm going somewhere and doing something, like going to physio or going to some kind of a class. But some days you get sick of being around, like, and you think you've nothing done all day.
Do you know the way, say, you went, at times, oh, you go down to your the woman, what she called in Castleton, now you go down to?
I go down to daycare centre down there.
Daycare centre.
Yeah, and I go down to physio.
Physio, that's it. And how many days a week would you do the physio?
I get about maybe 2 days a week or 1 day a week sometimes.
Really?
And now I come back into Bolivar, and Tree Bolivar is absolutely brilliant for stroke people.
Yeah.
And I'm back into Stephanie now doing weights and things like that. Stephanie's the physio, the boss woman in there. I know her from the hospital as well.
Really?
She was the physio in the hospital, yeah. The physio in the hospital go out to all these places. They go
around, they
go out to the daycare centres around the county.
Yeah.
And you'd know them from before. And they're great, like, because they're deadly patients. I know what the patient they have with us, like, because...
They have
such good patients.
And at times in Dunleary, you know, at the start when you're finding stuff hard, patience is a big part of it, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's a big part of...
Dunleary is a holiday camp compared to coming out of a hospital. I found out in Dunleary as well, the people, us that came out, you know, the stroke patients that came out of Tralee Hospital, I think we were better prepared than all the other hospitals in the Martha and Wexford and Monaghan.
Isn't that mad?
We were better for walking and better for everything, getting off the chairs and all that. Because the physios there, I can't just praise them enough, like, until they're unreal.
Our dad
was so good, just like the nurses, everything.
And
we're lucky to have that hospital, like, they're great.
I think at times the physios and the occupational therapists, I'm sure you were with two, were you?
Oh, I had occupational therapists, three, they were brilliant. I had Kate and Tralee and Sarah Morgan from Cross McGlynn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, two great girls, like.
They are.
We only mention the good people. There's a few as well you would might be mentioning, like, they would make your day. They would encourage you, like.
There's people like that everywhere you go down life.
But mostly, like, they're great.
No matter what you do or go in life, there's always going to be someone that you don't.
But the majority of people are great to help you, like, they're brilliant.
Some of them don't get the praise that they deserve.
No,
they don't.
But I praise the Tralee General Hospital, Arda Ward, and the physios there. I couldn't praise them enough. Keep repeating myself.
They're brilliant.
And the people I've come out of Castle, I know from the hospital again, John O'Leary and Brian Hallahan, they're brilliant, like. Mishkart and Guinea Villa.
Do you keep in contact with any of them from the hospital?
Oh, I do. Yeah, we have. See, I meet, who do you call them? We go for tea now and then. We're actually going to Stephanie now in the Bolivar as well. Teresa Cummins and myself.
Go away.
Teresa from Ballyhar.
Yeah. Small world, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
They're up in Dublin, the big smoke, and there's still people from...
Oh, Kerry, they're
local.
We know there, yeah.
What advice would you have to anybody? Like we were saying at the start, young people in their 20s can get a stroke up until they're 50s, 60s. What advice would you give to somebody that young, we'll say young people, they mightn't be as kind of resilient as older people? What advice would you give to them after a stroke?
If they had a stroke,
yeah,
just be patient.
That it's a big thing.
And work hard.
Big thing, is it?
Work so hard. You have to work so hard for everything. Try to get better. Try to do something every day to get that little bit better. Improve, getting out of the chair, getting out of the bed, walking, whatever you can. Put on your clothes, it's huge. Shaving, washing your teeth with one hand, shaving with one hand, it's all hard.
And it's a small thing.
Try to get your clothes on, yeah, very hard. And do something every day for yourself.
Yeah.
Don't be depending on someone all the time. If you can do it yourself, do it.
And say to a stroke survivor, if you were to say something to their parents or family, what would you say?
Be patient.
Same, really.
Be patient, because it's hard to be in a stroke, but you don't deserve it. Like, you didn't get it. You don't want to be there, like.
Yeah.
And you didn't cause it.
That's it.
It just came out of nowhere, and it can come to anyone. And be respectful for stroke people or people in wheelchairs, because you could be there yourself the following day.
Yeah.
Nobody is guaranteed life, that their life is going to go smooth.
Exactly.
You're going to get something, and it could be a lot worse. But just, and live every day to the best.
And one thing that I don't like is, do you know when you're in, say, a situation like the two of us, that you've gone through hard times, one thing that I used to hate was, if I was down to the main out, my dad or one of the lads pushing me, and somebody we knew met, we met them below, and they'd be standing there, and I'd be here, and someone would be behind me, and they'd say to my dad, "How is he?" And I'm like, "I'm right here," ask myself. Mm-hmm. Do you think sometimes they come up, I suppose the sympathy, they mean good,
but it's really hard to talk to someone in a wheelchair. Probably you're used to talking to the person that's flying,
yeah,
and you see them in a different, they're a completely different person.
Yeah
it's hard for some people to, yeah. And my big thing is, like, you're looking great.
Exactly.
You're looking great and you're flying.
Yeah,
flying with a stick
compared to before.
No, I was flying when I was going race walking. I was flying, like.
Yeah.
No, I have a stick, I'm not flying. But just, they say things they don't mean them, like, but yeah, they're fine.
They try to be good. Do you have any plans coming up now, soon enough, do you have anything to share with us?
My plan, I'm trying at the moment, there's a doctor in Florida doing experiments with stroke people, and I'm trying to get a GoFundMe page,
yeah,
together, and try to go over there and get some little bit better in my hand and my leg or my balance, or get rid of some of the nerve pain.
Yeah.
And I'm intending to go over there this year now, if I get a chance, if I can make a few bob.
Over to Florida,
yeah.
Yeah. And I suppose
it's expensive, like, and
it is. It's a lot. Like, do you know anything to do with medication or medicine or anything like that? It is a lot, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's only when you're in the situation you kind of realise it, don't you?
Yeah, and that's another thing as well. When you get a stroke, like, what you get now a week, you make it before in a day.
Yeah.
So money really disappears when you have a stroke. Like, you're making nothing.
Yeah.
You're making it compared to before. You're always working. You're making a few bob, but when you can't do nothing, it's hard that way as well.
It is.
Yeah,
that's another hard thing of it. I was looking there. 1 in 5 will have a stroke in their lifetime.
Yeah,
and like
there's a stroke in America every 40 seconds.
Go away.
Yeah, somebody will have a stroke in America every 40 seconds.
It's frightening.
Yeah, people don't realize it at all. Like, how dangerous it is, and there's nothing you can do about it. Really, only just try to live a good, clean life and hope for the best.
And like you said a minute ago, there's signs sometimes. Like, you, it just came on out of the blue.
I got nothing. Some people get mini strokes and they get sad. I got nothing.
Their mouth can kind of droop.
Yeah, they lose their arm, their leg, while they're actually, they know it. Like, I don't know when I lost mine.
Go away.
You know, I ran into the hospital, the A&E, and I woke up in Cork 4 days later with no hand or no leg.
It was gone.
Another thing as well is, the hospitals are very bad for communicating with people. When I went in for my stroke that day, you know, I had 2 family members with me and nobody ever spoke to them.
Really?
Surely, oh yeah. Nobody spoke and had a chat with him, what was going on or what was happening. I was just putting an ambulance into Cork.
Communication's huge.
Is very poor, like, in the hospital there, yeah, when you get a stroke.
It is. And I find out some people, like friends and family, sometimes they know me better than I know myself. Would you be the same?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh God, yeah. Lauren, no, things there, like,
no, you have to tea.
Yeah.
It is not, it's
Lauren,
crazy.
Oh yeah, sure.
That's it, Pat. Thanks so much for coming today.
And I'm again, I said, Lauren, I have my life, so only for Lauren, I was knackered, like I could go nowhere or nothing like that, or I'd be stranded.
Big part
for
of your drives. Life.
Oh, the best.
Yeah.
Lauren is the best in Ireland.
It is.
I have all the physios boast upon, but Lauren is better than everyone put together.
It's like 10 people in one.
100 people in one. 100 people everything, in no, one. Nothing is a problem, always in good form.
That's it, and that makes it so much easier as well, doesn't it?
Somebody you can depend on and give them a text or a ring, like, and tell them, and they'll be on to you in seconds.
They'll be on to you straight away.
Brilliant.
It is.
Yeah.
Pat, thanks a million for coming in.
Thanks, Ian. Thanks a million, bye. Thank you so much.
Appreciate your time and all the best.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you, bye.
All the best moving forward. Now, unfortunately, that's all we have time for tonight. I hope you all enjoyed the show, and I appreciate you tuning in as always. If you have any suggestions, questions, or requests for next week's show, you can contact me through my Instagram, enoconnell321. I'm on Twitter at enoconnell00, or as always, you can send me an email to my email address, ioconnell@radiokerry.ie. I hope you're all having a great week so far. Stay tuned in here to Radio Kerry, because Brian Priestley is up next with That's Jazz. I'll be back at the same time next Wednesday night from 8 to 9 PM. Until then, stay safe and mind yourself.
You're listening to Standout with Enoconnell.
Wednesday evenings from 8 p.m. here on Radio Kerry.